let's get to our guest, Stefan Hu, Regional CIO and APAC Macroeconomics Head at UBS Global Wealth Management. Well, a number of issues that China's facing, obviously these further lockdowns, that's probably the biggest one at the moment, but also the property crisis seems to be casting a little bit of a weight on the country's economy and geopolitical tensions. Just overall, your thoughts here this morning, Yifan, on the health of the Chinese economy.
For the Chinese economy, is improving from the second quarter. So we should put this way, the worst is past. However, the rebounding road is bumpy. So now currently we see for the consumption is picking up. However, because of the resurgence of the COVID restriction, so I think it's slowing down a little bit again. And also for the investment side, especially for the manufacturing, it's quite manufacturing infrastructure should be resilient, partially offsetting the declining of the property investment. So exports is also slowing down. So as a whole, and we think that it's a We put it a U-shaped recovery with a bumping road, but still it's a recovery from the second quarter. So the worst is past.
How much do we see a more meaningful recovery and perhaps a pivot away from dynamic COVID after the Party Congress?
We think the China probably will continue its zero COVID policy. However, the implementation will be much more flexible. So currently, we see from the overall direction, I think the government is already more relaxed. You will see for the allow the APEC card holders to visit China, and also foreigners with students visa can enter China, and also the quarantine period shortened to 7+3. From the 14 days. So we see the overall direction is inclined to more opening, but we just think before the Party Congress, it's still quite tight, but we think it should be more relaxed after the political pressure is gradually alleviated.
Yifan, how far along are the provinces in pulling forward some of the bond sales from next year into this year?
From the provincial level, I think that it's currently with the COVID restrictions for the bond side. in our view, the LGFV will continue to probably issue in the Hong Kong market, but I think the overall market is. It's not a very enthusiastic for the bonds. So we think there's a still issuance, but the overall the volume actually is quite muted.
We're continuing to see weakness in the yuan and efforts by the PBOC to stem this. Meanwhile, RBC reporting that Russian banks prefer China's yuan as the main alternative to payments in dollars and euros. When it comes to the currency, what are the implications of geopolitics and, of course, the strong dollar weighing on the overall weakness of the yuan?
Currently, because of the strong dollar, I think that it's kind of the general depreciation against the dollar. So I think that the China has no exception. So we expect for the USD CNY could overshoot 7 till to the year end, but it will gradually back to 6.9 by next March. So for geopolitically and for the, I think the China is has been continuously promotes the RMB internationalization. I think they will continue work on this way. Actually, even before the geopolitical conflict, the China is already trying to use more RMB and to pay the commodity with Russia, with Saudi Arabia. So I think that's not something new. But now I think that of course for the loop and RMB will become two currencies and the two in the this kind of the oil deals. So I think that will be the trend, probably the China with its energy partners going forward.
When we look at the challenges in China, it's kind of hard to figure out what the catalyst might be for that U that you were talking about, for it to swing up on the right side. What's the catalyst? Is it really just COVID? Is that the main factor at the moment?
I think there's several catalysts. I could summarize three. And first, I think for the investment side, we say for the infrastructure investment and also manufacturing investment is still quite resilient. So this year, we already issued 3.65 trillion of the LGB, the local government bonds, and I think they have to be used out, right? So we think that will keep the infrastructure investment still resilient for the second for the rest of the month. And the second, I think that it's consumption. Consumption is still weak, is recovering, is improving, but I think still takes time. So in our view, and we see the August actually is a quite good rebound. It's already. We see for the services level, it's already 90% to the total 19 level. However, with the resurgence of COVID, so that one actually the COVID policy matters a lot. So hopefully it will improve after the party congress.
What about the attractiveness of investing in China? You don't think Chinese equities now can outperform the rest of their Asian peers?
I think that we currently think it's a neutral. So that means we are waiting for the good momentum for the China's market to rebound. So for economically, we need to see more like a clear signs of like a consumption, like a recovery, and also hopefully more like the government supportive policy will be announced after the party congress. And also, I think for the market side, I think that for the corporate earnings, I think that probably have to pick up to give more confidence to the investors.
Briefly, from an investor's standpoint in China, where's the best value at the moment?
I think currently, I think the one thing for the Chinese economy is still the worst is past, so it's recovery. So I think this year could below expectation of the 5.5, and I think it's around 3% of the growth. But the next year we still expect 5% of the growth. So that's actually very different from the developed economies, because currently I think the fear of the recession is for the U.S. and Europe, I think it's the hot topics. So I think that's actually make China is different from the rest of the world.
All right, Yifan, great to have you on. Thank you. Yifan Hu, Regional CIO and APAC Macroeconomics Head at UBS Global Wealth Management.